If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We're talking today with Dr. Susan Rehm, Vice Chair of Infectious Disease, Program Director for the Fellowship in Internal Medicine Fellowship or Residency at the Cleveland Clinic. A series of questions have come up relating to the flu medicine, Susan, and the last couple seconds on email, one of which says, if I've got to take it as soon as I get symptoms, why can't my doctor prescribe it in advance and I have it or at least have a prescription ready to go to the pharmacy so that I can get it immediately rather than having to wait for a doctor's appointment and then take it?
Yeah, I think that that's an important question because of the importance of timing. And when I think one of the issues for docs is that how do we tell the difference between influenza and some other respiratory disease, and how does the individual know the difference? So it is sometimes tough. Now, it gets easier when you're in the middle of flu season because it kind of, birds of a feather flock together. You can see the pattern of symptoms. But what we tell people and what we tell ourselves, think about ourselves, is to think about that whole constellation of symptoms. And things that happen with the flu, we remember by the word FACTS, F-A-C-T-S, fever, aches, chills, tiredness, and here's the important thing, sudden onset. People who get the flu feel like they've been hit by a ton of bricks. They're feeling well one moment, and the next moment they feel awful with aches and pains and headache and so on down the line. And many times respiratory symptoms are not prominent at the very beginning of a flu illness. Now, contrast that with a cold, which is usually more gradual onset. You may think, gee, am I really getting sick, or did I just was I in a dry room and my throat feels a little sore because of that? Stuffy nose, runny nose, those types of things. They are different illnesses, but a cold will not respond to the antiviral medications. Just the flu, they are specific to the influenza virus. So it is important. Now, what I usually say is contact your healthcare professional. I don't want there to be the barrier of coming into the office to be seen unless I have a concern that it's a complicated case or that there may be something else going on. And as a matter of fact, selfishly speaking, I'd like to keep my waiting room clear in terms of not exposing other patients to somebody who might be contagious. So that's the kind of situation where talking with a nurse on call, talking with a physician and so on, going to an urgent care if necessary. There are more ways than ever for people to have contact with a healthcare professional on a fast basis to be able to potentially get assessed for use of antiviral medication.
The next set of questions relate to cold hair, going outside in the cold. Will wet hair cause them to catch a cold or be more likely to catch the flu?
That is an old wives' tale. You know, it makes sense. It really doesn't feel very good when you go outside when your hair is wet and so on. But there has been no association with that. And that's why the other thing is prevention is so important. And that's why we get back to the CDC's Take 3 approach, which is vaccine, personal health habits, and use of antivirals if your healthcare professional prescribes them.
The next question is, my husband says he always gains weight in the winter, and that's one of the reasons he gets sicker in the winter, and that cold weather gives him colds and flu. Is that true or false? Is the weight gain something relating to it? And, if you will, the corollary, why does the cold virus or the flu come more commonly in the winter?
Well, this is a good chance to talk about the whole whole seasonality thing. And let's think about the fact that in the wintertime, for most of us who where the weather changes, we are inside more, we are potentially less active, and we're also potentially face-to-face with more people more of the time. And just those facts by themselves probably impact the fact that, that there are more colds, more flus, and that type of thing in this season. It certainly facilitates spread. Of course, having said that, we know that influenza is a worldwide phenomenon. Tropical areas have influenza, just like climates in the northern hemisphere have influenza. So it is it's something that is there here worldwide. And now I'm going to speak out of my area of expertise, but I think this the weight gain question is probably related to change in activity. That would be my guess. But it's something important to pay attention to, because trying to maintain a good level of physical activity consistently through the year is a cornerstone of good health.
And this person writes about church. He says, in church, we're together with a lot of other people. How do I protect myself from getting viruses and colds from them?
That is a great question, and before I get into prevention, I'll make the observation that back in the days of the so-called Spanish flu, the epidemics in 1918 and 1919 that unfortunately killed so many people in the United States, there were some cities that during the height of the flu epidemic closed their schools, closed the churches, basically closed as much as possible all public places. And that is the ultimate social distancing. Those cities were able to break the epidemic by keeping people from going to public places and being face-to-face with each other. Now, that's not necessary to do in most times. But for people who are going to be out and about when it's flu season, prevention is key, and number one is vaccination. Secondly, those personal habits. Don't shake hands. And I have even heard of churches and other places of worship where instead of the customary handshake during the service, that the other acknowledgement is used. Use personal sanitizers. Stay home if you're sick yourself. And if you see somebody who's ill, you know, it's not a good time to spend a lot of time with them. And then the third thing is just to be aware that you should contact a healthcare professional if you feel like you're getting ill. In some cases, if flu's going through a family or a group at a care center or something like that, occasionally antiviral medications are given to people who aren't ill to keep them from getting ill. We don't do that very often for a variety of reasons.
And this next question that got sent us, I love. My spouse says if you have a heart condition, your most vigorous exercise in the winter should be watching your favorite college football team playing a bowl game on January 12th. So I'm going to take the first part of that. Watching your favorite team can be extremely stressful and is associated with an increase in heart attacks and strokes, so is arguing with your spouse. So just tell him gently that even walking around the TV screen when it isn't on, or replacing your couch with an exercise bike and pedaling even slowly or whatever rate your doc says, can probably help his heart get stronger and allow him to have more energy. And the second part of that is, does stress increase the risk of, well, we're not going to be able to do it, but I'll do it next time. Does stress increase your risk of cold? We have to cut off for a heartbreak. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.